We got Nate Ulrich now from the Akron Beacon Journal joining us here on CBD. Nate, great to talk to you as always. We're 2 weeks away from the second and third rounds of the NFL draft, just under 2 weeks from the start of the draft. Where are you at right now for the Browns over those first 2 days? What if it's happening right now, how do you see things shaking out for Cleveland?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm still, and I could be wrong, but I'm still thinking that they're not going to go quarterback at number four.
I'm with you. I think if they stay at four, I would be surprised if the pick is a quarterback. Now, if somebody wows them to the point where they feel that the value and their conviction in that quarterback are commensurate, do it. Pull the trigger. I'm fine with it. But I agree right now. Today, I think they go elsewhere if they stay at four.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I see it. I think if they love their guy and he's there, then they do it. But I'm just not convinced that's the case. And I think if I had to bet, which luckily I don't have to, but if I had to bet, I would
bet.
But
you can dabble.
You can dabble, right?
Right. That they would take the, best player available, so to speak, at number four, and then pick that quarterback at 26, or maneuver to pick that quarterback later in the first round. You know, Arizona's sitting there at 20, and I think Bruce Arians wants a quarterback, so maybe you have to trade up to get, you know, a Derek Carr or a Teddy Bridgewater, one of those guys, if you want to make sure you get them. And then, you know, so I think maybe the way I see it, best player, maybe it's Sammy Watkins at four, maybe it's Khalil Mack at four. Quarterback later in the first round, 26, or a trade-up if they feel it's necessary. And then in number 35 overall, early second round, right, I'm thinking number two wide receiver or number two cornerback. And I think, you know, that's kind of the way I'm leaning when I look at their first three picks. I think also you got to look at, you know, if you don't get that number two wide receiver, that number two cornerback there in the second round, or with any of those first three picks for that matter, then I think you're definitely looking there in the third round.
Yep, right with you with that, Nate.
I agree with that. And the thing that is interesting to me about four, even though I think the value in this draft is not necessarily in taking Watkins because of the comparable wide receivers, but if you take a guy like Khalil Mack, to me, in a sense, that's a little bit of a luxury pick, and it is not necessarily addressing one of your needs with your first pick and therefore pushing everything down, and you're going to be addressing what I would consider a big need either at corner or at wide receiver because quarterback's got to be in there in the first three picks. You're going to push one of those things back now to 71. You're going from 35 to 71, basically a whole round in between and then some, and that makes me a little nervous, which is why I'd rather, if you're going to not take a quarterback and take a luxury pick early, again, I get back to this, if you trade down and pick up 40, then you still have the opportunity to get your corner and receiver right there at the top of the second round and have a luxury pick, plus get your quarterback and the two positions we agree are the next most important.
Yeah, all that makes sense. I would say that if Watkins is not the pick at four, I think he can really benefit from the deep draft class at wide receiver.
Yes, right.
And, you know, if the analysts, the experts, the draft gurus, whatever you want to call those guys are right, then you should be able to get a starter in round three. I mean, that's how highly touted this receiver class is, and you got 2 third-round picks. So I think there's some flexibility there.
There is, and I think that's a good point, though, because in the third round, Jarvis Landry could be there. Dante Moncrief could make his way down into the third round. Martavis Bryant from Clemson, a 6'3 speedster on the outside, could be there. There will be opportunities to get quality receivers at that point. So if there was one position that you would push down, that would, I think, I'd agree with you, Nate. That would have to be the one. Quarterback, though, let me ask you this. To you right now, is it a certainty that you think the Browns are going to draft one of the guys that is considered the consensus big four at this time? Or do you think it is possible we're going to be talking with a guy way down in Georgia about Aaron Murray, that a guy like that could ultimately end up being the first quarterback taken by the Browns this year?
Yeah, I do think that they're going to pick a quarterback who's become a household name in Northeast Ohio because we know how people crave the draft talk here. They're getting a load of it, obviously, with the draft being pushed back 2 weeks. But I'll tell you what, I do think that, you know, like I said earlier, Derek Carr, Teddy Bridgewater, I think that could be the guy later in the first round. And I think Johnny Manziel and Blake Bortles will be gone if the Browns, don't pick the quarterback at four and wait till later. But I do think, you know, if those are the big four you're alluding to, which I'm almost certain you are, I definitely think that Carr and Bridgewater are options. But let's not forget, having said that, the Browns have 10 picks, right?
Yep.
And they brought in all these quarterbacks, you know, guys who were certainly not household names are going to be later round targets. I asked Mike Pettine, at the NFL owners meeting in March, when we were down there in Orlando, you know, is it a possibility, do you think, that you guys could, you know, pick two quarterbacks in this draft, kind of like how the Redskins did, you know, a couple of years ago when they picked RG3, they picked Kirk Cousins, and guess who their offensive coordinator was? Kyle Shanahan, and his dad was the head coach. So you think you could go that route, and he said that's certainly a possibility. So I'm still thinking that I would not be surprised at all if they pick that quarterback somewhere in the first round, and then we see one of these guys, you know, who they've thoroughly examined and researched throughout this process, you know, Keith Wenning, Stephen Morris, you know, Ball State, Miami, you know, you name it, guys who could be later round, you know, developmental quarterbacks. Wouldn't be shocked if they picked one of those guys, too.
Yeah. No, you're right, Nate, and that's something that we've been discussing as well. And as you said, you heard that from Mike Pettine at the NFL meetings. Nate Ulrich, our guest, he does a tremendous job. You read him at the Akron Beacon Journal covering the Browns, of course. All right, Nate, as we know, let's stay on the quarterback theme. So many of them, as you just alluded to, were here in this building this week, and the Browns had their opportunity to kind of dissect the ball. Who do you believe, Nate, impressed the Browns and maybe imparted some things about themselves that the football team found appealing? What quarterbacks maybe did that this week off the field to the Browns?
Well, I think that, you know, Johnny Manziel is obviously a very impressive guy when you talk about personality, his intelligence, the passion that he exudes. So there's no doubt that when Mike Pettine talks about the it factor, a lot of people are going to associate that with Johnny Manziel. And obviously he's in this week visiting the Browns. So, you know, that's the part that the Browns have to be sure about. You know, are they willing, as we talked about earlier, I think they are. I think they are leaning toward not picking a quarterback at number four. But they have to be sure they're willing to pass up a guy if he is there. Jacksonville doesn't take him at three, which I think they could. If he's there at four, are they willing to pass on that? Because there's no doubt that, you know, at least in my mind, that he's the kind of guy who can walk in and exude the confidence and project the confidence that you want from a franchise quarterback. Right. And I think that can be attractive. But you've got to remember and you've got to go back, and I think Ray Farmer's smart enough to do this, not to fall in love at the very end of this process with anyone and to go back and think about the tape, think about the film, think about everything you've gathered to this point. And the way Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine have kind of downplayed the importance of pro days, I would think that they would go back to the very beginning and rely on the college production more than anything.
And it's the studying of that tape, the traits in that tape that support the production or project to success and production at the NFL level. Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Nate, of the quarterbacks that have been rumored to come in to the building in Berea, and we know there's been about a dozen of them, who do you think this trip was the most important for, and who had the most to gain or lose based on what they did walking inside the building? And since you already touched on Johnny Manziel, who's probably a good answer on both sides of that question, outside of John Football, who do you see that person being?
I think it's Teddy Bridgewater, because I know you're high on Nathan, and I am too. I mean, when I watched college football when I was able to, a lot of times I'm in a Browns bubble, I'll admit it, but trying to get a look at the quarterbacks, I liked him the most. I mean, I just liked what he did. And when his bowl game ended and when they, Louisville ran over Miami in that bowl game and he had a great showing, everyone's talking about, Teddy Bridgewater is going to be the number one overall pick. Now here we are and no one's talking about that.
Right.
I mean, no one is talking about Teddy Bridgewater being a top five pick.
It's amazing.
So, you know, obviously a lot of it stems from that pro day, which we talked about earlier. The Browns, they don't really value. You know, he didn't have a great pro day. He was inaccurate. He didn't wear the gloves that he wore in the games. And, you know, it was something that he wishes he would have done now. But I think it's very important for him to, you know,
And I should say, you know, the visit's important for everyone, obviously, when you want to make somebody a franchise quarterback. But I think that private workout is key, you know, and that was even earlier this month and this week. But I think just getting another chance to look at Teddy Bridgewater and what he can do. And, you know, that's a thing. A pro day like that might make, and I'm sure it would, make somebody go back, make these coaches and scouts and GMs go back and look at the tape again. So I think the workout for him, and I think the rest of the free draft process has been really important for him. But despite him, you know, falling and the perception about him and, you know, people picking him apart, hey, the last time that guy played football, he was thought as the number one ranked quarterback. So
that's right.
Would not be shocked if Ray Farmer keeps that in mind and targets him.
I hope so. Nobody was happier about his poor pro day than me. I didn't need a sense of validation. I believe what I believe from hours and hours of study and feel very confident in my thoughts on Teddy Bridgewater. And if that can help him slide down to us at 26, I'm all for it. Because you talked about Bruce Arians at 20. Bruce Arians, to me, seems like a guy who would want a quarterback with a bigger arm like a Derek Carr. To me, if Derek Carr and Teddy are there at 20 and Arians is pulling the trigger on a quarterback, Carr fits his vertical game a little bit more than Teddy. So I was happy with that. Nate, great points, great discussion as always. Appreciate that. We're finally inching closer, and we can finally get, hopefully, in 2 weeks' time, be talking about the guys that are on the Browns, not who they will be taking, as this draft seems still forever away.
Guys, I can't wait to find out what's actually going to happen.
I know, right? I can't, me neither,
well
man.
Well said, Nate.
And now they're talking about maybe Goodell saying maybe it should be a four-day process. All right, give me the draft. Fine, well, who cares? All right, we'll be back at the top of this hour with a big interview because, to me, you guys know, I think there are a couple ways you could go a quarterback. Theodore, that's my guy. My option B, which would be to wait a little bit, is to get Aaron Murray. Do they hold him in high of regard down in Georgia? We'll find out when Seth Emerson, the Georgia beat writer for the Macon Telegraph and the Columbus Ledger Inquirer, joined us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.